Welcome to celebration of Balaram's appearance day. This morning we had some nice discussion, quoting from Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of the biography of Lord Chaitanya's life, Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he was describing in detail the tattva, or the truths about Lord Balaram. And it was a little rigorous. Detailed, scripturally based understandings of Balaram's position in the spiritual world. Very quickly, Balaram is not in the same category as he's Vishnu Tattva. He's in the same category as Krishna, but he's unique at the same time. He's the same as Krishna, or Pratimurti, the self-same Krishna, just expanded directly, except he's white, white like snow or milk, and white, like his dhoti, that kind of white. And Krishna is blackish, but otherwise, one entity in two different forms, distinct from further expansions of forms of the Lord in Vaikuntha, forms of the Lord in Mathura and Dwaraka, forms of the Lord as they appear in this world, the avatars from the spiritual realm coming into this realm, and some performing leelas, some doing different things in different categories of avatars. Balaram is unique, distinct from any other of the forms that are, we can say, expansions of Krishna. And it's nice to appreciate expansions doesn't mean once upon a time there was only Krishna and he was bored. He thought, gee, I don't want to be bored, so let me expand myself, and boop, he expanded himself. And then there's Krishna and Balaram. And then Balaram thought, gee, I want to serve Krishna, so I'll expand myself in other ways, and boop, he expands himself. That a chronological kind of expansion, because we think of things in terms of time, because that's what we're working with. But in the spiritual realm, time is conspicuous by its absence, at least time as we know it. So when we speak of Balaram being an expansion of Krishna, it's not a chronological kind, but it's an ontological or a relational. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And all other plenary expansions and portions of a plenary expansion and energies, spiritual and material, all emanate from Krishna. And amongst all of those, Balaram's position is unique. And so we're honoring his appearance day today. This is a very nice painting of Balaram. And you see in Balaram's right hand, he's carrying a plow. So one of Balaram's names is Haladhar. Hala, because he plows. Those of you that are familiar with Bhagavad Gita, you know in the 18th chapter, Krishna describes the four varnas. And when he speaks of the Vaishya, Varna, the agriculture group. Krishi Gorakshavanijam Vaishakarma Swabhavajam. Krishi, that's Balaram, producing grains. That's what he uses the plow for. Or agriculturists use the plow for producing grains. And Goraksha, protection of cows. That's Govinda. Govinda and Balaram. So he's carrying his plow. And he has a nice, pleasant smile. Benedicting, giving smile. And his dhoti is this bluish color, just like when you see deities of Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. There's deities of Krishna Balaram, and often, not always, but a classic dress is wearing blue color, and Krishna is wearing pitambar, he's wearing a golden colored dhoti. Of course, our deities, they wear many nice colors. But same as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's dhoti is golden, and Lord Nityananda's dhoti is this color. And like Krishna, he often wears peacock feather in his hair. Here's a statement I like very much from Krishna Book. Krishna Book is a summary study of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in chapter 2, Prabhupada writes, "One cannot attain the supreme platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. Bala does not mean physical strength. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram or Sankarsana." So we're honoring Balaram today, among other things, because he provides bala, spiritual strength, to carry out our devotional service. Without spiritual strength, you can't carry out anything on the spiritual platform. Not just having strong arms or strong body, then you can do lots of things. Physically, yes, but not spiritually. Spiritual realization, self-realization, requires the favor of Balaram. So we offer our prayers to Balaram on his appearance day, especially, for spiritual strength. Balaram or Sankarsana is the source of all spiritual power, and described in our Vaishnava literature, he's the original spiritual master. Did you know that? In one sense, Krishna, because like Krishna speaks to the sun god Vivaswan, and Vivaswan to Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku, he's serving as the spiritual master, and then again to Arjuna. But that aspect of Krishna that's doing the speaking is the Balaram aspect of Krishna, or the Sankarsan aspect of Krishna. He's functioning as the original spiritual master. That's Balaram. So Prabhupada writes in his commentary on this topic that the spiritual masters in disciplic succession, they're representatives of, or they're deriving their power to do that service from, Balaram. So when honoring a spiritual master, Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru or whatever form, it's honoring ultimately Lord Balaram. There's a nice set of songs by Jayadev Goswami. One of them we sing every time we have aarti. The Nrisinga Kirtan at the end of aarti. That's one part of the primary Leela avatars, sometimes called Das Avatar. The song is Das Avatar Stotra by Jayadev Goswami. And I believe that's the next slide. And you have that little portable microphone? Is it turned on? Okay, so just hold it by the speaker. The translation, O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Balaram, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you on your brilliant white body. You wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Jamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. So Balaram used his plow for a number of different things, not just tilling the field. We'll describe later the Leela of Balaram using his plow to, After Krishna and Balaram left Vrindavan, they went to Mathura, and while in Mathura many things happened, including the killing of Kamsa and then the freeing from the prison Vasudeva and Devaki, and the father of Kamsa, Ugrasena was installed on the throne as again the king of Mathura. Within the Yadu dynasty, he was that king of that region. And Krishna and Balaram remained in Vrindavan in Mathura for some time. But Balaram, because he had lived so intimately with Krishna in Vrindavan, he knew that the residents of Vrindavan were feeling great separation from him. And so Balaram went to Vrindavan to pacify the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. And many leelas took place when he was in Vrindavan, while Krishna was still in Mathura. One of those leelas was described in the 10th canto, as Krishna had performed Rasa Leela, with a separate set of gopis, Balaram performed Rasa Leela. Did you know that? He performed Rasa Leela. And when Rasa Leela was performed, it seemed to the gopis that the night passed in just 5 minutes. So short. But the actual experience of time, because time is very flexible according to the Leela Krishna wishes, it was the whole night of Brahma. And that's a long time. And in the course of his pastimes with pacifying the hearts of the gopis who are feeling great separation from Krishna, he began drinking Varuni beverage, and in some transcendentally, not the ordinary kind of intoxicated state, he called for the river Jamuna because he wanted to take bath, and she did pay attention to this intoxicated fellow. So he took his plow and started pulling the river Jamuna. You won't come to me, I'll show you. And then she realized, uh-oh. So river Jamuna personified came before Balaram. Please forgive me. The plow is very powerful. This is a painting by Pushkar indicating another pastime that took place. This is when Krishna and Balaram had already moved from Mathura to Dwarka, and Krishna had married a number of queens, and one of the queens, Satyabhama, had a son named Sambha. And by providential arrangement, Sambha developed an affection for the daughter of Duryodhana. And the daughter of Duryodhana had developed an affection for Sambha. So they didn't use text messages and those other ways that goes on today, but somehow on her radar screen it came that Sambha likes me and I like Sambha, you know, romance. So Sambha went to attend the Swayamvar ceremony of Duryodhana's daughter. And while he was there, he did what Kshatriyas will sometimes do. He tried kidnapping right in the midst of this big festival and took her away and was planning to take her back to Dwarka to marry him. And Duryodhana was furious. He already didn't like the Pandavas, and now the son of Krishna took his daughter right from her Swayamvar ceremony. So he charging with all of his generals, and they surrounded Sambha and they captured him and brought him back to Hastinapur and put him in prison. Bad news travels fast. News went all the way to Dwarka. Sambha's in prison, in the prison of Duryodhana, Ugrasena. What to do, what to do? Ugrasena was furious. Amassed the entire Yadu army and will go and attack Hastinapur and finish Duryodhana and release Sambha from jail. Now, one of the services that Balaram likes to do, by the way, this morning we discussed that the mood of service of all living entities emanates from and is resting within Balaram. So one of the services he likes to do is be a peacemaker, although he's very powerful. He likes being the go-between. This one's got a problem with that one. Balaram steps in and resolves it. So he requested Ugrasena, keep the armies of the Yadu dynasty in Dwarka. Let me see if I can make a peaceful arrangement, because I have a relationship with Duryodhana and I think he'll listen to me. Okay. So some ministers went with Balaram all the way from Dwarka to Hastinapur, and Balaram and his ministers made encampment outside the city walls. News messenger was sent to Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and the other brothers of Duryodhana. Because of the affection between Duryodhana and Balaram, he was very happy. Good news, Balaram has come. So let us receive him properly. So they sent ministers with bountiful gifts, royal bounty, to offer as gifts to Balaram, and the messenger was asked to raise the question, what good fortune has brought you to here, to Hastinapur? So through the messengers, he sent back, I've come to get release of Sambha and for Sambha to be allowed to marry Duryodhana's daughter. That's why I've come. Please deliver the message. When the message went back to Duryodhana, he lost it. No way am I going to release Sambha. And all of those kind of noises. So the messenger came back to Balaram You better leave Hastinapur. Get while the getting's good. Balaram became very angry. And he took his plow, and with his plow, he hooked it into the ground and began dragging the entire city of Hastinapur towards the Ganges to pull it into the river Ganges and drown it. Duryodhana had a little uh-oh experience. Uh-oh, I've messed with the wrong person. And they sent the ministers, we take it back. Samba can be released and my daughter can marry Samba and everything can be nice again. So that's what happened. There was a royal marriage in Duryodhana's royal city. And with pageantry, Balaram accompanying Samba and his new wife made their journey back to Dwarka. So Balaram is very skilled in using his plow and using his club, the other instrument that we often see him carrying. Prabhupada chose to have Krishna, Balaram, as the central deity, the presiding deity, in his singular temple in Vrindavan. And he gave the reason why. Some people speculate other things, but he gave the reason why. Because the temple, Krishna Balaram temple, is in the Raman Reti area of Vrindavan. And in that Raman Reti area of Vrindavan, every day, Krishna and Balaram would take the cows. I mean, they would go in different places each day, but every day they went to Raman Reti. And so, in honor of that pastime, he established the deity of Krishna Balaram. There's a little famous episode where Prabhupada, after the Krishna Balaram deities were installed, Prabhupada visited Mayapur. And on the way from Calcutta to Mayapur, riding in the car with Prabhupada were Giriraj Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I've heard this like so many times, directly from both of them. Prabhupada turned to Giriraj Maharaj and said, "Who is stronger, Balaram or Krishna?" And Giriraj Maharaj said, "Krishna is stronger." He said, "Why is that? Balaram's name is Balaram. He's all strength." He said, "Well, Krishna is stronger because Balaram has to lean on Krishna's shoulder." So Krishna is stronger than Balaram. And Prabhupada said, "That is right." Although Balaram is the source of all strength, Krishna is stronger. And they're especially known, of course, pastimes in Dwarka and Mathura, but they're especially known for their wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan together. The all attractive pastimes of Krishna as a cowherd boy in Braja. Because this is the original feature of Krishna, is Krishna in Vrindavan. And naturally also with the cows and with the cowherd boys, enjoying many, many wonderful pastimes together. We discussed this morning, or at least mentioned this morning, that Balaram assists Krishna not only as a cowherd boy, but in all of the five rasas. So this is a particular deity form where there's Krishna and Balaram, and over here is, Ananga Manjari. Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Radharani. So older brother, who is the older brother of Radharani? She has an older brother. His name is? Sridham. And then Radharani, and then Radharani has a younger sister whose name is Ananga Manjari. According to our Vaishnava Acharyas, Ananga Manjari is an expansion of Balaram. Whoa. Because Balaram just loves to serve. So even in conjugal rasa, he's serving as Ananda Manjari. He expands himself. We had some interesting discussion this morning about something related to this. He loves to serve. He serves in neutrality. He serves in servitude. He serves in friendship. He serves in parental affection. He serves in conjugal affection. He serves in neutrality because Balaram, through his potencies, he manifests and maintains eternally the whole of the spiritual world and all of the paraphernalia of Krishna. The chair of Krishna, the bed of Krishna, the shoes of Krishna, the Brahman thread of Krishna, the clothing of Krishna, everything. That Balaram is really into it. In neutrality, he manifests all these things simply to serve Krishna. And of course, Dasya, although he's the elder brother, he likes to take the position of the servant of Krishna. And that becomes a problem sometimes in his role as the elder brother, but Krishna works it out. And as a friend, as the cowherd boy, they have this relationship amongst the other cowherd boys as Krishna's friends. And because he is the elder brother, he serves to protect Krishna in many different ways. And conjugal pastime. So this is a photograph of the deities that are at Radha Kund, and the deity of Radha Gopinath at Radha Kund, and this is Gopinath, and to his right side is Ananga Manjari, and to his left side, just like on our altar here, is Radharani. Radha, Gopinath, and Ananga Manjari. In his capacity as in his childhood pastimes in particular, Balaram is dearly beloved by Krishna. He took his birth first. That's why we're observing Balaram's appearance day today, and then later on we'll observe Krishna's appearance day. He appeared as the son of Rohini. You know that pastime of how he became the son of Rohini? Rohini was one of the wives of Vasudev, as was Devaki. When Vasudev married Devaki, there were a number of other sisters that were married at the same time, the same wedding. Multiple sister wedding. And one of them was Rohini. And somehow, by some arrangement, Rohini, even Vasudev was restricted. He was able to somehow associate with his wives. And when Rohini became pregnant, Vasudev was very concerned about her safety because of wicked Kamsa. So he sent Rohini in a pregnant state to go to the care of Nanda and Yashoda, because they were very close friends, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj. So Rohini, at the request of her husband, went to the care of Nanda Maharaj. And when the seventh child of Devaki, yet to be born, was still unborn, Krishna called for his Yogamaya potency personified. She was very happy. Yes, yes, some service. What is it? The service was to transfer Balaram from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And when that service was done, everyone assumed that Devaki had a miscarriage. Well, it wasn't a miscarriage, just the child was transferred to the womb of Rohini. And Rohini was pregnant, but that child was replaced with Balaram. It doesn't say what happened with that other child. I've never read anything in our Acharya's commentaries what happened to that earlier child. But in any case, Balaram became then the son of Rohini. So he's Rohini Nandana. Rohini Nandana. the son of Rohini. Well, we're a little bit ahead of ourselves. This is a nice painting, suitable for Krishna Janmashtami. But here's Lord Brahma, who had been approached by Mother Earth in the form of a cow to please rescue the earth from the over domination of the earth by demoniac kings. So Brahma and the demigods and the Mother Earth went to the shore of the Milk Ocean. That's the Milk Ocean, because you can see the fish in sight. And there in the Milk Ocean was Lord Vishnu, along with Anantashesh and Garuda and Lakshmi, or Rama, Devi, at his feet. And they offered the Purusha Sukta prayers, and Krishna responded by saying to Lord Brahma, in a manner in which only Lord Brahma could understand, that very soon I will appear on earth. Please arrange for all these demigods and the daughters of the demigods to take birth on earth first so they can participate in my pastimes. So that arrangement was made. And when Krishna was born, present also, prior to Krishna's taking birth, this is the ceremony of the birth of Krishna, so many gifts being brought by the residents of Braja for Nanda and Jasoda in honor of the appearance of Krishna. And the bathing of Krishna, but look who's looking on to see the bathing of Krishna is Balaram. And here's the bathing of Krishna, a very interesting way to bathe a newborn child. And there's Balaram supervising, making sure they do it right. And, you know, the sacred substances being poured on Krishna's body, and Mother Jasoda very happily holding her son in a peculiar way. And then the name-giving ceremony. This, of course, is Gargamuni. When Nanda Maharaj went to Mathura to pay his annual taxes, he thought this would be a very good time to meet with the astrologer of the Yadu dynasty. He's very, very expert, and he can do the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram. So in mysterious way, in indirect language, Gargamuni indicated the position. Oh, by the way, it was done in a cowshed, a goshal, because he thought, if it's done in a public place, Kamsa will do the math real fast. 2 plus 2 equals... Because Nanda Maharaj is connected to the royal family, they were descendants of King Shurasena, without the detail, he's part of the royal family. And so, if Nanda Maharaj is going to the royal astrologer, that means Nanda Maharaj's son is that eighth child of Devaki. So, rather than giving that math equation to Kamsa, he did it in secret, in a very appropriate place for Krishna, in a cowshed, and did the name-giving ceremony. And he described during the ceremony the exalted qualification of Krishna, because he wasn't an ordinary astrologer. He was very superlatively gifted. So rather than saying that this is Narayana, he said he will be so powerful like Narayana. And he said that whenever the residents of Braja are in difficulty, he will always give protection. So this was remembered later when difficulties would come and the residents of Vrindavan would think, Gargamuni said, this child, the son of Nanda and Jashoda, will give us protection. Krishna, having faith in the words of Gargamuni, and having deep affection for Krishna, they would call for Krishna and Balaram to help them. And so the childhood pastimes are so sublime. These are the personalities of Godhead, plural, you can say. And together they're acting like little children. And little children will embrace and do all kinds of little children things. But this is not just little children. This is the personality of Godhead and his first expansion, enjoying affectionate exchanges together. Like little children, in the innocence of childhood, but with transcendental affection for one another. Sometimes they would feed one another. Sometimes they would embrace one another. Sometimes they would crawl on the ground before Yashoda and the elder gopis, and they would laugh and smile like elders will do, seeing little children do little children things. But the rasa is that the object is not just a little child. The object is the Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfilling the parental affection, the vatsalya rasa of the elders. Sometimes to fulfill their desires, they would expand themselves into identical forms and crawl on the ground and play with little toys and completely enchant and charm the hearts of the elders. And not only the elder gopis, but the elder gopas, they similarly had transcendental affection for Krishna and Balaram. In fact, Gopi Jana Bhalava, we sing in our song. They were the delight, the source of unlimited pleasure for the Gopi Jana, the cowherd men and the cowherd women. When they were small boys, sometimes they would go into the pasture where the calves were and pull on their tail. And what would the little calves do when they felt their tail was being pulled on? They would run, and Krishna and Balaram went for a joyride. And some of the gopis would clap and laugh, and some of them were in great distress. Oh no, Krishna and Balaram in great difficulty. And they were smiling and just going for a ride. And sometimes they would pull the jewelry of Mother Yashoda. No, no, no. When you see children do this with their mothers, sometimes it's like difficult to understand the affectionate change that goes on. But when Krishna does these things, it's simply an exchange of transcendental love. He's the omniscient Supreme Lord, but at the same time, because of the affection of Mother Yashoda, he takes on the innocence and simplicity and love of a small child. And then, of course, so many, many, many different pastimes of Krishna. It is the stealer of yogurt and butter products, makhan chor. And Krishna would go with Balaram into the storeroom, which were dark. They didn't have electricity. But because his body was effulgent, the gopis, they could see him and catch him in the act. And Krishna and Balaram, after eating to their capacity, they would give to the monkeys. I've never seen a monkey so polite, sitting there with his hand outstretched. Please, let me have some butter. And Mother Yashoda, watching with a smile on her face, amused by the mischievous behavior of her son. She was not unaware, but she also felt the motherly affection of disciplining. When a child is engaged in something like stealing, mothers don't take that lightly. So the whole Damodar Leela of Mother Yashoda binding Krishna in the effort of disciplining him, because this tendency to steal butter and yogurt. And so many paintings, there's hundreds of paintings of the cowherd boys standing on the grinding mortar, monkeys eagerly anticipating getting some too, and on the shoulders of one of the cowherd boys reaching into the pots that are holding the butter hanging from the rafters to keep whatever insects and other things away. Sometimes one of the larger cowherd boys would be the climbing post and gopis would observe and catch them in the act. Anyway, so many pastimes or illustrations of this very famous pastime of Krishna stealing. And because of time, I'll just discuss this pastime. It's during the same age when Krishna was very young. The cowherd boys and Krishna playing together, and Mother Jasoda came from the palace just to see how the boys are conducting themselves. And of all things, Balaram accused Krishna of doing wrong thing. He told Mother Jasoda that Krishna has eaten dirt. And there's a very nice painting at the place where this pastime took place, right by the side of the river Jamuna. This is Balaram pointing a finger at Krishna. Whoops, these are the cowherd boys pointing the finger at Krishna. Krishna's by the side of Mother Jasoda. Krishna said, "They're telling a lie. I didn't eat dirt. You feed me so nicely. Why would I eat dirt?" And the cowherd boys insisted, "No, no, it's true. We saw him eating dirt." So Mother Jasoda then instructed Krishna, "All right, you say you haven't eaten dirt. Let me see. Open up your mouth." And you know the pastime, when she looked inside Krishna's mouth to see if he had eaten dirt. She didn't see the dirt, but she saw the very same form that we find in chapter 11, Bhagavad Gita. She saw the universal form inside Krishna's mouth. All the planets, all the stars in the sky, and all the mountains and rivers, and all species of life, and the demigods, and she saw everything inside Krishna's mouth. She even saw Mother Jasoda looking inside Krishna's mouth, inside Krishna's mouth. And she thought, "Oh, I'm seeing things. I better go lie down. Better see a doctor." Krishna disclosed his divinity, his godliness, to Mother Jasoda. But different than Arjuna, Arjuna became overwhelmed. And he spoke as he spoke after seeing the universal form. But Mother Jasoda, because her love was so intimate and strong, she couldn't hold that thought in her mind. How strong. This is the superlative position of the residents of Vrindavan. Their love for Krishna was with such intimacy that they cannot possibly see Krishna as the personality of Godhead. And Balaram was assisting in this particular pastime, accusing Krishna of wrongdoing, just for the pleasure of Krishna, that's all. And I think I'll end here. The one of the favorite names of Krishna, found specifically in Sri Brahma Samhita, is Govinda. All of these beautiful prayers to Govinda, and even starting from the very beginning, verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. This name of Govinda is very special because amongst the forms of Krishna that are manifested in different ways, in different places, for different services and different leelas, the original form very clearly is Govinda, who resides in Goloka. Literally, Goloka means the planet of the cows. Goloka, the planet of the cows. where there's so many cows. But all of the cows, they're Surabhi cows. They're cows that yield unlimited quantities of milk. And for that matter, they fulfill all the desires of all the living entities for anything they want. And along with him, Govinda is Balaram. And they're very, very, both, very, very fond of cows. So Balaram assists, in short, in conclusion, Balaram assists Krishna, Govinda, in his wonderful pastimes. Starting from the very beginning of Krishna's pastimes to the very end of Krishna's pastimes, and in every place where Krishna goes, his constant companion is Balaram. Constant companion is Balaram. There are places, there are times, when for purpose of Leela, Balaram went somewhere. For purpose of Leela. So that Krishna could do something without Balaram being present. But that was just for the satisfaction of Krishna, and otherwise, constant companions. And we'll hear some more this evening at the Chicago Temple for those of you that come. And this is a nice way to begin preparing ourselves for Krishna's appearance day, because when Balaram was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini, there are some mathematical calculations that are made by our acharyas. That is to say, Balaram remained in the womb of Rohini for a long time before Krishna was born. So that literally, just these number of days, Balaram was born, then Krishna was born. Although a long period of time had passed. So he's the elder brother. And in Vedic culture, the elder brother is looked up to by the younger brother. So Balaram took that role. Specifically, for example, he took that role when it came to the arranging for the marriage of their sister, Balaram, Krishna, and the younger sister's name? Subhadra. Another Leela. So the elder brother wanted Subhadra to marry that unmentionable personality. That Subhadra was no way going to marry Shishupa. So that was Balaram's intention. And he's the elder brother. So Krishna had to work around that intention. So he conspired to have Arjuna come and kidnap Subhadra at a very unsuspecting time and whisk her away and become the husband of Subhadra, which was her desire. Long description found in Mahabharata. When Arjuna was... It's a long narration. There's not time for it. In a disguise as a sannyasi, he entered Dwarka to observe Krishna's pastime. Of course, Krishna was omniscient. So he was brought into the royal assembly. He's a sannyasi, at least by outward dress. And the Kshatriyas honor the sannyasi. So he was brought right into the royal assembly. And from the corner of his eye, he saw the beauty of Subhadra. And you know what happened. Cupid's arrow struck. And same for Subhadra. Anyway, Krishna consulted with his sister. Do you want to marry Shishupal? No way. No way. Well, if you had your choice, who would you want to marry? Well, the sannyasi that comes. He's very nice. I think he likes me too. So Krishna made the arrangement. And when Arjuna took Krishna away, took Subhadra away, The elder brother became, we got to stop this. This is an insult. Stealing the daughter, our sister, when her marriage was to happen very soon to her bride, or her groom. So, but before we take the whole Yadu dynasty army and go chase him, I'm going to go consult Krishna. And Balaram went to consult Krishna, expecting, you know, his younger brother's going to say, whatever you want to do, older brother. That's not what Arjuna, that's not what Krishna said. He said, well, actually, I think it's very good. You know, this kind of kidnapping in Kshatriya circles, this is very noble. It's not an insult. It's very noble. It's honoring our sister. And in fact, rather than sending our armies to go do battle with Arjuna, I think we should go bearing gifts and ask them to come back and perform the wedding right away. So auspicious. Balaram didn't know what to say. In fact, it'll be very auspicious. An alliance between the Yadu dynasty and the Kaurava dynasty, it'll strengthen our dynasty. This is very good. Let us make the arrangement for honoring Arjuna. Balaram couldn't say no, because he has this mood of wanting to serve Krishna, although he's the elder brother. So he did what Krishna said instead of what he wanted, because that's what a servant does. The servant may want that, but if the one he's serving says, I want this, then he does this instead of that. That's the mood of service. So that's what Balaram did. He got the Yadu army together and went and caught up with Arjuna and invited Arjuna, here's many gifts, please come back and let's hold a nice wedding. So they were married. That's how Arjuna became married to Subhadra. So their intimacy was from the very beginning and throughout. And we'll hear some more this evening at the Chicago Temple. Any comments or discussion, questions? Yes. It's a mystery. It's part of Krishna's Leela. It's a mysterious part of Krishna's Leela. Is that all right? You know, by common sense, he's bad. And why would Balaram befriend somebody who's bad? He's evil-hearted. And it wasn't, he was blind, he didn't know. He's omniscient. But he's acting according to a transcendental plan, Yoga Maya's arrangement for Krishna's pastimes. It's a puzzle, but it's part of Krishna's plan. Yes.
Hare Krishna. When Bhima killed Duryodhana, Balaram got very angry.
Yes, he got very angry. Many times he chastised Krishna. Scolded him. So?
How did Krishna prevent Balaram's anger towards Bhima?
Well, because Balaram, although he's the elder brother, and he has therefore the privilege of chastising his younger brother, it wasn't inappropriate, it was perfectly appropriate. I don't recall what Krishna exactly said, but the indication of Krishna was that it was all right, meaning, although the code, there's, let's say like this, there's higher orders. When it comes to Dharma, there's a principle of Dharma. And then there's other principles of Dharma, and there's other principles of Dharma. And what's very delicate is which principle supersedes other principles. That's discussed in the dialogue between the Yaksha and Yudhisthira. You're familiar. So the Yaksha says to Yudhisthira, it's very complicated. The laws of Dharma are so complex that how is one to understand when one law of Dharma conflicts with another law of Dharma conflicts with another law of Dharma? How is one to understand? Yudhisthira's reply was basically, you're right, it's very complex. Therefore, the way to understand the path forward is by reference to the Mahajans, the great souls. They know how to adjust these things. So Krishna spoke something like that. There, yes, it's true, there's a principle that according to Kshatriya code, one is not to do the strike below the waist with a club, a weapon. So that violation was made. But there's a higher principle. Duryodhana should be killed. And it's only by my arrangement, because the cloth, when Gandhari took her blindfold off, before doing that, Krishna said to Duryodhana, you can't stand before your mother naked. You have to put a gamsha on, a cloth covering your private parts. And when she saw that, Gandhari removed her cloth. She was so distressed. Krishna has done it again. This is Krishna's trick. So it was the only way that Duryodhana could be dutifully, rightfully, dharmically killed. Because otherwise his body was invincible. So the higher principle, he's to be punished for all of his death penalty deserving activities. And this is the only way. So it's a higher principle. Like that. Balaram still didn't like it. But he didn't interfere because Krishna spoke like that. Krishna had directed it for it to take place.
What does yellow signify?
Go ahead.
What did the inhabitants of Vrindavan say when they saw that Krishna and Balaram had expanded themselves to be multiple places at one time?
What did they think of Krishna and Balaram expanding themselves?
No, like what did they say when Krishna and Balaram did that?
Oh, the little pastime where they were identical forms?
Yeah.
Good question. By the influence of Yoga Maya, they couldn't see identical forms. They could see Krishna and Balaram, period. A comparable leela, because the leelas of Krishna are also taking place in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So if you have the time, you can find in the Rathyatra pastime, where Lord Chaitanya is dancing before the Rathyatra cart of Lord Jagannath. And the king, Prataparudra, saw what most of the other people there couldn't see because he was given the eyes to see. Otherwise, by Yoga Maya, they were covered. He saw that Lord Chaitanya had expanded himself into so many Lord Chaitanyas, dancing within the kirtan party of each of the kirtan. There were 7 kirtan parties. Simultaneously, the others thought, Lord Chaitanya is so attached to us, he only is dancing in our kirtan party. And then the other one thought the same, and the other one thought the same, and the other one thought the same. But it was, he had expanded himself. Or another similar pastime is in Vrindavan, when the cowherd boys would have lunch, they would sit in a circle. Krishna here, and all the cowherd boys. Balaram by his side, Sridham over here, and then all the other cowherd boys. So the cowherd boys felt, Krishna is so attached to me. He's only looking at me. And each of the cowherd boys thought the same thing. Krishna is so attached to me, he's only looking at me. It's his internal potency or yogamaya potency by which Krishna can reciprocate with the affection of his devotees in such a way that it appears to them something, but it's just his internal potency acting. So in that way, they couldn't detect Krishna had expanded himself. Now there's other times when they can detect by Krishna's arrangement. Like the pastime of Lord Brahma stealing the calves and the cowherd boys and putting them in the cave and coming back and seeing all the calves and the cowherd boys. So he went back to the cave. They were in the cave. So he went back to the scene of the crime. And he saw, instead of cowherd boys and calves, he saw forms of Narayan. As many as there were calves and cowherd boys. And then they all disappeared. Then he just saw one form, Krishna, with a lump of yogurt and some fruit in his hand, in his left hand, ready to eat it with his right hand, looking and smiling at the Lord Brahma. So sometimes, by Krishna's arrangement, one can see, and sometimes one cannot see. By Krishna's potency, by Krishna's will, one can see whatever one sees, even today. What to speak of the internal potency? We can become blind and not see anything. We can see 20/20, or we can see with spectacles. By whatever power Krishna gives. Now there was another voice over here. Mataji was saying something. Yeah.
What is the significance of the yellow pitambar and the blue?
Krishna likes and Balaram likes. That's the significance. That's all. Like you see, here's Krishna's being depicted in some other color. Of course, it's the Sharma painting where he's depicting Krishna in a different color. But he likes that color. He likes that color. It goes well with his...
Doesn't symbolize
anything. He just likes that color. Yes?
Thank you for the discussion. My question is that initially you had said that time is conspicuous by the...
Time as we know it,
yeah,
in the spiritual world is absent.
Is absent. But somewhere I've heard, I read about...
Okay, that's a danger.
I read up...
Here's the microphone. Do you want to speak into the microphone?
Authentic things only.
Oh, okay. I'm sure.
It's called desiratory.
Okay, fine. Now, what's the question?
That time is there in spiritual world where it does not affect...
There's no deterioration.
Deterioration.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, take the microphone from him. Yes. Time as we know it is absent. But there is time, not like we know it. It's a very flexible kind of time. It's basically like a backdrop for Krishna's pastimes. Here's some examples. In Bhagavad Gita, we read, Krishna says, in the spiritual world, there's no need of sunlight, moonlight, or electricity. Correct? Because everything is self-effulgent. But, in Goloka, there's day and night. There's the rising and the setting of the sun. And there's a moon. But every night in the spiritual world, it's a full moon. No phases of the moon. It's a full moon. Every night. And then the summer season is like spring. And a moment, we know this from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, even a moment separation from Krishna feels like 12 years or more. But yugayatam nimesha. Nimesha is a fraction of a second. But it seems like yugas. It's more than 12 years. So time is very flexible. Krishna can go from point A to point B like that. It's not like he runs fast. Time is... it's a backdrop for his pastimes. That's all. So time as we know it is absent. But time is there. Otherwise, how do you have pastimes? It's an inconceivable dimension of eternal time that's very flexible, simply to assist, as everything does in the spiritual world, assist in the pleasure pastimes of Krishna. And time here destroys things. Time there doesn't destroy things. There's no diminution according to time. It's just pastime. Very different. Whole different set of rules going on in the spiritual world. But it's natural that as above, so below. But in the below region, it's perverted. And in the spiritual realm, there's no perversion. It's just loving pastimes with Krishna in varieties of expressions. Something else? Yes?
You said that Lord Balaram had his own Rasa Leela.
Yeah.
So what were some of the similarities and differences between Krishna?
Well, the differences primarily was a different set of gopis. And he didn't play a flute. But the similarity is it's a rasa, and the science of rasa says there are attractive features of the object that are attractive to the subject, who behold the object and feel love, and you know the qualities of Balaram, which are unlimited, would inspire the feelings of love within the subjects, the gopis. So they knew Balaram's position in relation to Krishna as his beloved brother. They weren't thinking of, you know, his immediate expansion. Just, you know, they loved Balaram as they loved Krishna. And he came to give his association for the pacifying of their hearts. So in that way, you know, the feeling was similar. The rasa, the bhava was similar. But different impetuses to stir those feelings, churn those emotions. Nice questions. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah.